Okay, now? All right. This is not a regular city council meeting, but it is a city council meeting, a special one for the purpose of appointing someone to a vacancy on the Harbor Advisory Board. And we have our applicants, we're going to have our interviews, and we will be concluded at 6 o'clock when our regular agenda will begin. So we have two applicants. We have Brittany Bechtel, and we have, is it William or Bill?
Bill.
Bill Luffy, right?
Every day, kind of, you know, seeing what's going on down there, and I've got environmental, you know, not concerns, but, you know, I'd like to just, I have opinions and would like to see that Morro Bay goes in a positive direction, that everything stays nice and healthy and keeps growing.
Okay. And Bill?
My name is Bill LaFay, and I'm a citizen here. I've been here for 32 years. And my reason to join the Harbor Commission is to get involved and to make sure that there are some decisions that are made. I think the Harbor is our focal point of this city, and I'd like to be a part of that. I don't have a business on the Harbor, but I enjoy the Harbor. I'm down there. I participate with activities, and I have a view of it, so I would like to see and make sure that that view and the health and vitality of it stays the way it is right now, and I'd like to be involved in it.
Okay. Thank you. Betty, would you like to start with questions?
Can I ask Mr. Albert a question, please?
Sure.
I know that we have certain categories. Are we filling a certain category here or no?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Yeah, this will teach me to come to one of these, huh? Bridget probably could answer that, too. It's the marine-oriented business seat, I believe, at this point, which I believe is a four-year term, or would be remaining two-year term. Thank you, Bridget.
Are there others on the board that I know that, like in promotions, we've shifted people around in order to fill those positions? Are there others on there that currently have a marine-oriented?
Yeah, I think you could look at that. Bridget, maybe did you bring the roster? Thank you. Maybe I'll just give you a list. So Roger Anderson is the Waterfront Leaseholders Association member at this point. Jim Phillips is member at large. Michelle Leary is recreational boating. And she obviously runs a marine-oriented business. You could consider that either way. Jean Dowdy is the Los Osos Baywood member. Judy Meissen is the member at large. And Ed Ewing is Commercial Fishermen's Association member.
Okay. Thanks. I guess my question would be, knowing those kinds of people, and I don't know if any of you are, if either of you are familiar with any of those people, and you mentioned that you both have opinions about that, and being new to the city, certainly that brings kind of a fresh perspective, and Mr. LaFay not being a business owner down there, but being a visitor brings a different kind of perspective than maybe some of these people do. Let me go with a topic that we'll be talking about later this year, and that's like we're asking the LAFCO to allow us to include from the marina over to the Sandspit and north, bring it into our sphere of influence with the ultimate intent that we would annex that and bring it into the city limits. Pluses and minuses about that, would you see? What do you think is the best use of the Back Bay?
Sure. I think that's the area that currently is kind of a no man's land. Definitely.
And Bill?
I do concur. I think that the Back Bay, as Brittany stated, is kind of a no man's land. I know that you and the Fish and Game have tried to clean it up and done a good job into getting some of those boats out of there, and to have the city have the spirit influence, I think is only a win-win situation for the whole bay and for that part of the bay, too. So I do concur to that.
Okay. Mr. Pierce?
Now, if I'm not mistaken, you both mentioned that you have ideas or feelings about the bay. I'm assuming these are things that are obviously not being done right now that possibly need to be addressed, and I'd like to know what they are.
Well, I've got, you know, business-based things that I know, you know, there are environmental issues that, you know, that it needs to be walked softly upon and everything, but, and financial for the city. One thing I would like is for the dredge boat to go all the way back, because that's been stopping at kind of the entrance to the bay. So, you know, things like that, eelgrass issues.
Of course, the dredge is primarily money and eelgrass.
Right, exactly. That's why financially, yeah.
But are there other things for both of you that, you know, you see happening in the bay or you don't see happening that you would like to see happen? Maybe let me make the question easier for you.
Well, I think everything's fairly under control. I love what the Harbor Patrol's doing. You know, they seem to be doing a great job keeping everything clean and in order, and I appreciate that. I don't see any huge issues. I don't have any big problems with what's going on, but, you know, I'd like to keep it that way and things not to go down the drain.
Okay, Bill.
You know, I think the three things that I'd like to see and also help is the Back Bay Marina. I believe that is an issue that needs to get resolved, because if it doesn't get resolved, we're going to lose that. And I believe the harbor now has taken, hopefully trying to resolve some issues, and maybe money is the issue, but that needs to get resolved. That's the one thing. And the Harbor Walk, I think, is a number two thing that probably I would like to work on and to see. And I don't know if the harbor has jurisdiction, but I'd love to be honest with you, is to see more pedestrian-oriented things happening in that harbor area. And I know that we've talked about circulation of cars and stuff, but I'd love to see no cars in a certain part of the Embarcadero. I'd love to see that.
Okay. Rick? And this time we'll start with Bill answering, so it's not Brittany on the hot seat every time.
Okay, well, we already, hi, Brittany and Bill. We know what Brittany does. Bill, you're in promotions, I guess, because of your email here, your address. What is it that you're doing?
I am a business owner of Promotion Plus, and I also own VS, and Morro Bay is going to be my home for the rest of my life. So this is where I'm going to start, and this is where I'm going to put all my effort.
Well, thanks for your persistence. And Brittany, thanks for being here also. I don't have any other questions.
Okay, Melody?
You know, I don't think I have a lot of questions relevant to the appointment, but I am curious how the electric boat business is doing and if that's a success. Because I kind of worried when you first came in that it might not be, but if you're a roaring success after 4 years...
Yes. Well, like I was just explaining to Bill here, it's not going to make me a millionaire, obviously, mm-hmm. but it is improving more and more every year. And, you know, I've already surpassed the normal business failure time.
Right.
So, yeah, it's doing real well. It seems to be, it's actually surprised me how popular they've been.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they'd be popular enough, but a lot of people just come up to me like, I just think that's great what you're doing. That's what this place is needed, and just offers something else for people to do.
Okay, great.
To get out there without
it does, and know, a real alternative
without really impacting the bay or anything.
Right, it doesn't impact the bay at all.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then, I remember when you came at the Planning Commission. I was quite impressed with you that night, actually. Promo Plus. I actually have. Is that where you can go and get, like, stickers and banners and things like that? Like we need at, like, kite festivals and jazz festivals. And, okay. Just wanted to clarify and wanted to make sure your business was doing okay. And I know your business is doing fine, so thank you.
Okay. My question is, have you both had a chance to watch the harbor meetings? Are you familiar with the issues and stuff? Have you got a little bit of background? I hear... Nodding from Bill, yes.
I have not been to a meeting, I'll be honest with you. I have watched it on Channel 20. I have been down to the Harbor Commission quite a bit. I knew Jim, who used to work there. I used to go down there. He used to take me out in his boat a couple times, me and my wife. I think that the issues are, you know, what I've stated, some of them. I mean, I think the Back Bay Marina is the number one issue, and the leasehold issues, I think, is what the harbor does. So I'm somewhat familiar with them, I mean, to be honest with you, but I will be more if I do get selected.
And what perspective do you think that you would bring to that board?
Common sense, dedication, and maybe a different viewpoint on what I feel that the harbor, you know, should do.
Okay, Brittany.
I also have not been to a meeting, but like Bill, I have watched on TV. yes, and to be honest, I'm not completely familiar with all the issues, but I don't make decisions until I'm really informed on something, so I would definitely, you know, do my research, learn every angle of an issue before I would give any input. And to answer your other question, I think the point of view I would bring, I'm a pretty balanced person, you know, I'm not an extremist, I'm pretty level-headed, I've got, you know, I'm pretty even between environmental
experience, and it's not water-related as yours is, but maybe a little bit more experienced, and I think at this point that might be helpful. So thank you.
Bill?
I guess I could just simply say me too. I appreciate your both being here, and I have been quite surprised and pleasantly surprised by both of your comments, but I think at this point it weighted a little more heavily to Mr. LaFay.
Okay. Rick?
It's a tough one. We got two good folks out there, and you're much better looking than Bill, but I think I'm going to have to take Bill because of, like we say, the life experience and the time he's been in town and his interest in other things also other than this particular position that he's tried to be a part of, and I respect that. So I'll give Bill my vote.
Okay. Melody?
Well, I'll say it a little differently. I absolutely adored when your electric boats came to Morro Bay. And when I saw these two applications, I thought, I'm just going to vote for her because. However, what's changing my mind over to Mr. LaFay is the nature of the Harbor Board. And because I've watched some of those meetings. And I like it that you've been in business for 26 years and that you've worked with budgets. And I think I'm going to vote for Mr. LaFay.
Wow. Sort of a done deal, but I'm still going to vote for Brittany. and the reason I am is because we do have categories in these various boards, and as much as possible, I like to, if we have an appropriate candidate, to put that candidate in if there is interest there. Certainly no indication of whether either one of you would be better at the job. I'm sure you both would do very well. But just as long as we have that category and it could be filled by someone, I think I would vote that way. And I haven't yet ridden one of your boats, but I do want to come down and do that sometimes.
Me too.
All right, so we have a 4-1 vote then for Mr. LaFay, and congratulations. And Brittany, I hope you'll come back again, you know, and continue your interest. We really appreciate that. So, and you're definitely adding something to our harbor. Okay, thank you. Okay, if I can have everyone's attention, we will bring the Monday, May 14th, 2007 meeting of the City Council to order and let the record show that all council members are present. And if we could have the chattering cease, we will begin with a moment of silence. Thank you. Okay, to lead the pledge today, we have a young gentleman named Tyler Frazier, and he's an Eagle Scout, and we'll tell you why he's here after he comes and gets us started with our pledge. So, Tyler, would you step forward, please?
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And I've asked Tyler to stay there for a minute, and I'm going to ask the council to pull A7 and A8 off the consent agenda, and I ask for approval of those two items. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Now I'm going to join Tyler. So that we're facing the audience, why don't you come on over here? Okay, this is a proclamation of the City Council declaring appreciation for Eagle Scout Tyler Frazier's contribution to improved water quality in Morro Bay. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically, Tyler identified the city's need to mark all of the storm drain inlets with a no-dump message to help educate visitors and residents about non-point source pollution and help improve water quality within the Morro Bay National Estuary. He organized and implemented a volunteer event to mark more than 300 storm drain inlets within the city of Morro Bay with a no-dump message. Therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Morro Bay does hereby proclaim their appreciation for Tyler Frazier's significant contribution to improve water quality in Morro Bay. And if you look at the storm drains, you'll see them. They're very pretty little circular markers that say, hey, don't pollute the bay. So, Tyler, thank you so much. Here's your proclamation, and we really appreciate your work. Thank you. Okay, our second item, if I could have Myralene Morris Whitaker come forward, please. There she is. Myralene is with the VCB, and this is a proclamation of the City of Morro Bay declaring May 12th through 20th as National Tourism Week. Travel is at the heart of America's economic and national security. It generates millions of jobs and billions in taxes and is a vital resource in improving America's image around the world. Therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Morro Bay does hereby proclaim May 12th through 20th as National Tourism Week. And focusing on local businesses, that we want to tell you what you can buy right here in Morro Bay without ever having to leave town and spend all that gas money. So, Pam, tell us.
Hi. I want to thank you all for being here and thank the City Council for inviting me tonight to give you another good reason to shop Morro Bay. I am Pam Woodruff, owner and operator of Queen's Closet for the past 9 years. Queen's Closet's actually been in existence for over 35 years, and it's now located at 325 Morro Bay Boulevard, the only red brick building on the block, which coincides with being the original family department store in Morro Bay. At that time, the family store provided men's, women's, and children's clothes and other services. Some of my older customers have let me know what the name of that original department store was. I looked it up on the Historical Society today, and I could not find it. So if anybody out there knows the name of the original one, I would appreciate it. Most important, though, they provided good service. Time marches on, and perhaps things do change, and some don't. Queen's Closet has not changed in quality and individual service. Queen's Closet provides not only women's new fashions in sizes 14 through 5X, but we also offer lingerie, bathrobes, slips, underwear, bathing suits, Mother of the Bride dresses, along with any special occasion outfits and pantsuits. For travel, play, or everything we have, we do have the largest selection of plus sizes on the entire Central Coast. I wonder how many times a visitor has come to Morro Bay who has forgotten her bathing suit, that she wanted to enjoy the hotel pool or hotel hot tub. We have it. Then again, another visitor might come and forget our microclimate here, and she might need a sweatshirt or a jacket. We have it. Once I had a customer pack the entire car for a week trip for her and her family. However, she forgot her suitcase at home at the bottom of her staircase. We were able to provide styles that fit at reasonable prices. So why drive into San Luis Obispo, where they offer little parking and some service, when your answers are right here in Morro Bay? Let's stop and think how important those two words are, quality and service. Most of us remember when you could go to a gas station and they would not only pump your gas, check your oil, but they'd wash your windows too. That was service. Quality was one time when the Maytag repairman was lonely because their product of washer and dryers lasted and they didn't break down. No need for a repairman. Well, we all remember different instances of quality and service. Morro Bay's small businesses are built on just that, quality and personal service. Quality products and personalized service that can only come from a small business that cares about you, the consumer. We still need you, the consumer, to care as well. Yes, catalogs, computers, flashy advertising, and gimmicks might be enticing, but do we want to forget and throw away quality and personal service? Some downtowns across the
cyclists who stopped by one of 22 participating coffee houses in the area with their helmet in hand will receive a free coffee or tea and a Bike Month t-shirt. The coffee houses that are participating here in Morro Bay are the Rock Espresso Bar and Morro Bay Coffee. So ride your bike, take in your helmet, and get a free cup of coffee. Also, just to let you know, we were contacted by a representative of Chevron last week. They are removing the four little houses in North Main Street, those wonderful little cottages that are apparently filled with mold and other icky stuff. So they are removing those cottages. There is no plan right now to develop the property. They're not sure what they're going to do with it. Right now, they're just going to plant grass, and it's going to be a very pretty meadow for us to look at. So just wanted you to be aware of that going on. And other announcements. Betty?
On the overhead, you'll see an announcement about from the Agency on Aging is sponsoring a workshop on May 22. I believe it says it's at the Embassy Suites. It's for an hour and a half. I believe it's a Saturday morning. It's a weekday morning. And the intent is for those of us who are dealing with aging parents or aging neighbors, and the number of resources that are available to us in the county, or if it's you yourself that you need some resource information on, it's open to the public, it's free, and everyone's encouraged to attend.
Okay, Bill? Rick?
Just that last month, the EOC senior health screening and their blood work that they do every month, they were off due to a holiday. They'll be back the fourth Monday of this month from 9 to 12 at the Senior Center, which is part of our community center. Also, the Jazz Festival, I don't want to get before any announcements, but it was great talent that was there. It was good to see a lot of the city officials and the department heads were working there, volunteering their time. So it was they were really involved. It was good to see. And that's it. That's all I've got.
Okay. And Melody?
Yeah, on just an informational side, Thursday, May 24th, next week, the Cayucas and Morro Bay Group, the JPA, will meet to talk about alternatives at the wastewater treatment plant. It will be at the community center. And if you're here to talk about that, please come again next Thursday to continue talking about that. Now, on the upside, I want to talk a little bit about the Kite Festival. And my PowerPoint show didn't work, so I just want to thank some people. Before I bring up our local people, I want to just say that many people did not understand that the Kite Festival was an American Kite Association-sanctioned event. We had people here from Canada, Arizona, I mean, faraway places. We had the president of the American Kite Association here, and they did a fabulous job bringing huge kites to this area. And at the end of the event, some people did not notice, but the American Kite Association's president was on the beach picking up litter. So the American Kite Association, I know, helped a lot. But what I want to present to you, and I think John Weiss is going to help me out, is the members of the Kite Committee.
To get some ideas so we would learn from the from the experience of others, we were at the Harbor Festival selling kites, and we had Melody Demerit and others who were flying kites on the pier during the festival, and we used that as part of our fundraiser throughout the year. We also had a educational program at Del Mar Elementary School where over 600 kids made their own kite, and they had an opportunity to fly them on the day before the Kite Festival. We had the Morro Bay City Parade, which was gracious enough to use the theme and also to change the date, and we finally had a parade that didn't get rained on. So the Kite Festival was the theme. We had our kite walkers, which were organized by Melody Demerit, and we also had participating in the with the kite walkers, Bill Pierce and Betty Windholtz. And, of course, everyone on council was involved with the parade. Janice was the MC, and Rick was driving the rotary car entry. We had the Selenian people who did the blessings, so we had absolutely perfect weather, and we owe gratitude to them for that. And I want to share with you just a real short account of one of the highlights to me of why we have the event. And that has to do with a little girl who is about 5 years old. She saw the children in the tent making kites. And she asked her mother how much it would cost to have a kite. And so the mother went up and asked and was told that it was free. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was a good price. So she went and made the kite, went on the beach and flew the kite. And then as she was leaving, she exclaimed to several that this was the best day of her life. And so you can appreciate the smile that would take place on a five-year-old from making her own kite. And so that was some of the highlights. Now to introduce some of the people who were involved. Joyce Lundy was the chair of this event, and she spent over a year. She started with getting funds from the Rotary Club, which provided seed money for this event. And so we are very grateful for Joyce and also for the Rotary Club of Morro Bay because they contributed a substantial amount that allowed us to go to Berkeley and to start the event. We have Sean Farmer and Lori of Farmer Kites and Surreys, whose expertise and drive was instrumental in the Kite Festival being a success. He also found us a very good source for the kites. Sherry Woods and Joyce are actually the two of the driving forces and had the idea that this was something that they could do themselves with the help of the committee and with the Chamber of Commerce. Of course, Melody was instrumental and very supportive of our effort. David Woods was our master of ceremonies, and he did an excellent job. He now is going to be our perennial MC. Peter Candela, our CEO, who is not able to be here with us, made sure that everything that should happen did, and those that shouldn't didn't. And, of course, with Peter was staff, Kevin, who is standing up here, as well as Bill and Liz. And so staff was instrumental with the Chamber of Commerce in making this possible. John Wordsworth was, with no notice, recruited to be in charge of security. And I'll have to say it was nice to know that we had, from what I could tell, no arguments. There were no real security was involved and is on the board and is our vice president of the chamber, and she attended the meetings, and she worked both days from start to finish. Jill was our community volunteer, and she organized the Grizzly Academy. And if you were at the event, you know how nice it was to have clean beaches and things organized. We had 47 grizzlies there, young gals between the ages of 16 and 18, and they just did an incredible job. They set up the beach. They were involved with parking, and they just provided whatever needed to be taken care of. With the vendors, they stepped into the vendors' booth and were helping them because we had a lot more people than we had advertised or expected. Mary Hay designed our poster, which you saw on the screen earlier, of Hay Printing. Stuart McElhenney, who coordinated activities with Joyce at Del Mar School and with Sherry and the committee. We had Sherry Sims, who was a sponsor and assisted Joyce. David Owens, who ran the very successful Harbor Festival, was a consultant to the Kite Festival. Billy Clayton provided hot chocolate and coffee. And we also have the Circle of Excellence sponsors and Kite Festival sponsors. Without the money that they provide, this is not possible. So I'd like to take a moment and thank these organizations. The Rotary Club of Morro Bay, as I mentioned, Sean Farmer's Kites, the City of Morro Bay, thank you very much for your support, Del Mar PTA, the Morro Bay Aquarium, Mid-State Bank, the Chamber of Commerce, the Tribune, Albertsons, Embarcadero Inn, Morro Bay Furniture, Coast Electronics, Glassworks, Rose's Landing, Hay Printing, Sierra Vista Hospital, the Morro Bay Power Plant, Goofy Graphics, and Windows on the Water. I may have missed some that were involved, and I apologize for that. Obviously, there, with any event, you have those who may not go named who are instrumental in making any event successful. But certainly those that are standing before you were a big part of this event. And, of course, without people attending it and supporting it, it wouldn't have been possible. And so we want to thank you for this honor.
Thank you. That was the most successful first-time event ever. And I give them a big round.
I have to say, the last 3 weekends, we have just had so much wonderful stuff going on in this town. I'm so proud of everyone who's worked so hard to make these events happen. The Kite Festival, the parade, the car show, the jazz festival. This is what we need. This is what's going to draw people to our town. And I really appreciate all the hard work that everyone's put in there. Melody, do you have any other announcements?
No, I'd just like to say that Dave Woods just left, but he was our MC and our DJ that day. And if you ever want a really great DJ who plays the hits of the 70s and 80s, Dave Woods does it.
Okay. Next, we have announcements from our police department because they have a special event coming up next week, so they're going to switch off a little bit. And then we have one happy bit of news from our fire chief as well. So, from our police commander first.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, honorable council members. I'm Tim Olivas here on behalf of Chief John DeRohan, who is unable to be here tonight for the police report. American flag to fly the flag at half staff. Additionally, it is your option to fly the flag at half staff on May 16th with a countywide day of observance. May 16th, local law enforcement and criminal justice agencies throughout the county will recognize Peace Officer Memorial Day with a non-denominational memorial service on the steps of the Mission San Luis de Tolosa. The service will begin at 9 a.m., and I encourage all to attend. May 17th is also the designated as a law enforcement night downtown San Luis Obispo, which is Thursday night. The Morro Bay Police Department will be there also with a display. Now focusing more locally on Morro Bay activities for the police report this week. Over the past 30 days, officers handled 1,995 calls for service, made 64 arrests, investigated 13 accidents, that 7 involved injuries, took 151 reports, and there were 12 shortages when only one officer was in the city for periods of 1 to 3 hours. Our detectives spent numerous hours investigating the recent burglaries on the Embarcadero and other parts of town. This hard work has resulted in a second arrest of a subject out of Kern County who was responsible for the city's skate park break-in. A third subject has also been identified in the theft of another business, and arrest is expected once that person is located. Thefts and crimes of opportunity related to unlocked vehicles in Morro Bay as well as other parts of the county continue to be a problem, and we again encourage residents and visitors to lock their vehicles and not leave valuables in plain sight. There has been an increase in gang-type graffiti in the north end of town. In the past month, we have had 6 different reports of graffiti, with 5 of the occurrences in the Del Mar Elementary and Del Mar Park area. We are asking for citizens' help in watching this area and reporting any unusual activity or people who may be in the area associated with the recent graffiti. The County DUI Task Force Avoid the 14 project funded through the Office of Traffic Safety Grants, which is a state program, will be conducting DUI saturation patrols and checkpoints throughout the county this Memorial Day weekend. Morro Bay is one of the 14 law enforcement agencies in the county participating in this project. SLO County is a zero-tolerance county for DUIs, and the goal of this project is to reduce alcohol-related crashes, injuries, and deaths in our community. Morro Bay Police Department will also be involved in a nationwide campaign to reduce fatalities in accidents by encouraging people to buckle up both day and night. Morro Bay will be joining state and local law enforcement agencies in the national Click It or Ticket seatbelt enforcement mobilization crackdown, and this is used in an effort to reduce highway fatalities, and this will be through mid-May through the Memorial Day weekend. And last but not least, I want to brag about our devoted community service volunteers. For the month of April, the volunteers put in an amazing 451 volunteer hours, and those hours were dedicated to attendance at meetings, assistance with staff with office work, radar trailer deployment, volunteer patrols, working special events, responses to incidents for traffic control needs, and other miscellaneous duties. Once again, thank you for this opportunity to share this information with the community. Thank you.
And you just graduated some new community service volunteers, right? How many new ones do we have?
We graduated some people through the Citizens Academy, which mm-hmm. is the first step of becoming community service volunteers, and then they apply for the community okay. service volunteer program. I think we currently have about five applications from that class of 12 and anticipate Great. Several more.
Okay. Also, I saw the tagging out at Del Mar Park, and I just want to assure everyone it's from someone from San Diego. It's not local, so we are looking for a visit. Their name be known. So to our anonymous donor, thank you. Okay. Closed session report. Rob.
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's regular session, council met in closed session to discuss anticipated litigation. No action was taken on this matter that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
All right. That brings us to public comment period. Please come forward and make your comments. Limit them to 3 minutes. And if you're talking about the wastewater treatment plant, remember that is a public hearing. You can speak at that time.
It's working.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Hank Roth, Morro Bay. Our main Neighborhood Watch informational meeting will be Wednesday, May 23rd. That's two Wednesdays from now at the Morro Bay Community Center in the multipurpose room. This month, we'll be discussing the community training on reporting suspicious activities, and we'll go over the Morro Bay Neighborhood Watch program, what it is, how it works, how it's set up. I'd welcome you to come to the meeting. I know that a lot of people watch it on television, but it's great when you show up and you know be a part of the activities. So I hope to see you there. If you have any questions, you can call me at work, 772-6228. Thank you for your time.
That's true. I do watch them on TV, and they are very informative. If you can't get to them in person, watch them on TV because you learn a lot about how to protect yourself.
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. My name is Keith Taylor, resident of Morro Bay, friend of the Morro Bay Fire Department. Before I get into the fire muster, I'd just like to thank the car show committee, and that's Don Doubledee, Ken Vesterfeld, Ron McIntosh, Dan Doris, and Steve Carnes, and all the people that worked so hard on that. That was just a great event, and I'd just like to say thank you for putting on such a great event for us. What I'm really here to talk to about is on June 2nd and 3rd, we're going to have the first Morro Bay fire muster. And I encourage everyone in the city to come out and see it. It's free. And it'll be right on Harbor by our fire department and across from City Park. They're going to have bounce houses for the kids, and they're going to have think of a beer garden, and you get to see all the hunks or firemen doing their thing in teams. And we don't know how many are coming, but everyone in California is invited because it's a sanctioned event. But they usually come in on Friday night and check in. So that's going to be in the morning. It's going to start at 9 o'clock with a parade going down Morro Bay with all the old fire apparatus and fire engines. And then at 10 o'clock, the event starts, and they're going to have things like the vintage hose and motorized pumps, bucket brigade. I've never seen one, so I'm sort of kind of excited to see what this is all about. And they're all like relays, and they go for points, and it's a sanctioned event, so at the end of the year, you have a number one, two, three. And then at 5, when that's over, they're going to have a dance at 8 o'clock at the community center, and everyone in the community is invited. We're going to have...
Morro Bay did have a couple of firemen's musters, and you're right, they're a lot of fun. And cities that didn't do them before and didn't do them much after, like Santa Barbara had some also, but Morro Bay's, they had first one at Kaiser Park. The second one was on the Embarcadero, and I forget about the others. But if you haven't been to a fireman's muster, you got to come to them because they're incredible.
Thanks, Bill.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Claire Grantham, a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm here to thank the police department. I'm one of the graduates of the Citizens Academy. And I just can't tell you what a fabulous experience it was, and I just recommend that everyone do it. I learned so much in, 9 weeks, Tim? 3 hours a week, 9 weeks, met a lot of great people. All of the officers participated. It was just really so impressive. They took us down to Santa Maria. We got to drive the simulator, which I personally loved, and shoot the infrared gun, which I also really enjoyed. I had a great drive, got to drive around with Officer Godfrey last week. I learned so much about all the things you guys are talking about, like why they have to replace the cars after 2 years and many other things. And I just really want to thank Tim, Commander Tim Olivas, Chief John DeRoran, Hank for putting it together, Officer Godfrey for taking me in his car, and all the other officers that participated. It was just really a really great experience, and I recommend it highly to anyone. We should be proud of these guys.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kathy Novak. I'm chair of the Central Coast Natural History Association. May is California Museum Month, so we encourage you to turn off your computers, turn off your TV sets, bring yourselves, your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, and everybody down to the Museum of Natural History. There are some free adventure with nature walks, night sky viewing, bird watching, and a whole lot more. For a small fee, there's even a kids' overnighter this month. We are a rich resource for the community and the only state park natural history museum in the entire state park system. You could also visit the Spooner Ranch House at Montana de Oro and catch one of their living history programs, or even go down to the Pismo Nature Center. But we just encourage you to support us this month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Sadowski, citizen, North Morro Bay. Member of the American Society of Mechanical Engineers and a honorary member of the Metropolitan's Who's Who amongst professionals and executives for my work in hypersonic fluid dynamics and now water issues. First, I'd like to thank Surfrider for their tours that they've been doing of the coastal treatment plants. We were in San Simeon the last time, and it was a good tour. And then I'd like to thank Mr. Bruce Amble for meeting with me and Marla Joe last week. And in that meeting, I keep raising the question. So I went down there, calibrated the flow meters, and found out one was completely inoperable. And basically, we came up with an agreement with Bruce until we got new flow meters. Now, prior to talking about any kind of treatment, which you're going to be talking about, you got to know that you're not putting 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag.
And that's what. Can you watch the language, please?
It's English. I'm sorry. Yes. Anyway.
Thank you.
Sorry. Anyway, but that's what you're doing. It's, you know, if you think the language is bad, you got to go try to surf at one of our surf spots after, like the car show, for instance, when the plant is surcharged. Anyway, I would like the board to consider my claim, again, prior to going to the Ocean Protection Council meeting, which you guys have been invited to, and let's move forward toward a regional plan, because that's the only solution we have with Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gary Johnson? Oh, well, Mayor, City Council. I'm back after 9 weeks of recovery. So anyway, I want to talk about the Morro Bay muster also, and a couple of things that I'd like to talk about was this is a sanctioned event, which means that firemen from all over the California come and compete, and they compete for points, and at the end, they go from different cities in California, and at the end of the season, they will add up the points and who's going to win. And this event also at the bound houses and all that, the profits go to the Byrne Foundation for Children. And one of the marshals in the parade is going to be a child that had been burned. And we're going to recognize that person. I also like to see the fire department and police department compete with each other. Maybe the city employees over here. Now, women are also invited. You know, women, and it's a family affair. It's really going to be neat. And so that's about all I can say about that. Also, I don't know if I'm part of the Morro Bay Beautiful. We also help pick up trash from the Kite Festival and other events in Morro Bay. And I don't know if you noticed the new trash cans around town. Well, we put them out, but we got donations from other people, and we bought quite a few of them. They run, I think, $1,000 a piece. And that's when we're going to be painting forgot the date. Maybe somebody up there knows. We're going to be painting the trash cans in one event. Also, I want to thank the police department, because we had a serious problem in downtown Morro Bay. This advantage of having our own police department. We had a lot of problems with kids and fights and drugs and all that, and they cleaned it up. And if I noticed recently that we have a whole new type of people coming in downtown, and the merchants also are taking more pride in their area. If you notice all the planter boxes, we got flowers, everybody's supporting that. The streets are cleaner, the sidewalks are cleaner, and so forth. So I want to thank you for that. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Okay, I think the art can painting is Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
The art can painting is Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
This two medication that I needed to get me through that time, I don't know what I would have done because I'm still not that familiar with the Central Coast area. One of the things that I've appreciated about living in Morro Bay is it seems to me that you are a progressive community. You try new things. You're willing to take a step out and help the community. And not only was it voted in to California with the popular vote and legislation, but the fact that you were willing to open the dispensary and allow it to serve the community has been a blessing for many people. There are a lot of people in the area that are not as fortunate as I do to live here in this town and have the close and safe access to this. I know personally I probably wouldn't travel outside of the area because of the safety factor for me. But I just wanted to thank you for your compassion, and I would hope that you will consider allowing them to reopen and to continue the service that they perform. It is a vital service for the community, and not just the town of Morro Bay. There are several towns in the outlying area that have patients that also are well served by that organization. So thank you for listening and letting me have my time. Have a
thank
nice
you.
Evening.
Hello, I'm Neil from the Public Art, the Art Can Committee, and I'm here to show you some of the artwork that we're going to be doing on Memorial Day weekend. I don't have all of them, but we were able to get 9 sponsors and 9 artists, so we will do all 10 that we said we were going to do. There's going to be one at Anchor Park, one on Embarcadero across from Dutchman's Landing, 2 down at Tidelands Park, 1 up by Dorns, one on Main Street in front of Bottle Liquor, one on Morro Bay Boulevard right by the little pocket grocery, one a little farther up Morro Bay Boulevard in front of Old Paris, and then one up at City Park. So there's nine, okay? I've got six things to show you. I don't have the other three. I'm sorry. But this one here is Thomas Humphrey. He's going to be down at Anchor Park, and it's kind of funny and whimsical. It's a pelican, and it's going to be on a round garbage can. This one here is from Goofy Gary, from Goofy Gary's Graphics. And it's pretty colorful. He's going to do this on wood panels, and then we're going to attach it to one of the new garbage cans. This one here is by Jean League. She's one of our committee members. And this is actually the memorial can that we're going to be doing for a gentleman. And this one here is Ann Godsey. A little bit abstract, but I think it's going to be very colorful and beautiful. And that's going to be down at Thailand's Park, too. That's the one the Rotary is going to pay for. This one here is from Manny Fimbres, and he's going to be up at City Park. And it's kind of a pencil drawing, but it's a little bit different, kind of abstract. And wood, tile mosaics, and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be really good. And it's going to be Memorial Day weekend. We're going to put together a map, and people are going to be getting that map, and they'll be able to walk around and check it out. It's also art in the park, so it should be a good combination. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mayor, Honorable Council, Bill Woodson, resident. I'm endorsed Neil and Morro Bay Beautiful on that art can project, too. I think it's great. And if anyone wants to see one, see what it looks like, there's one at the chessboard already done. And I think it's a great example of what's to come. And it is going to be done in conjunction with Art in the Park, so there's going to be a lot of people watching these people get it done. The reason I'm up here is I notice on your consent calendar, A4 is a resolution 2507 for the award of the contract for the Harbor Walk. And I was hoping one of you would pull that so as you could enlighten the public on the details of what's going to happen there on, you know, things like time, line of construction, does it go all the way from the Rock to Beach Street? And if it doesn't go to Beach Street, how are we going to get it there? Those kind of things. I noticed in the parking study draft that's just being reviewed by various agencies throughout the city that there is a plan at Beach and Embarcadero to tie that parking lot together with the Embarcadero to make it more conducive to go down to the Embarcadero, but as well tie it to the boardwalk. So I hope it makes it to Beach Street. So I would like to hear more about it. Thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name's Carrie Filler. I actually came tonight to let you know, and the folks at home know, that EcoSlow was recently donated an Ego scooter by Scott O'Keefe at Slow Ego Scooters. He generously donated this scooter. It's about a $1,200 to $1,400 electric scooter. It will go about 20 miles or 25 miles. There's a gentleman who commutes from Los Osos to San Luis Obispo on it right now. It is being raffled off at $10 a piece, the scooter, so it's on display at Scott's store at Slow Ego in San Luis Obispo on Broad Street and near Insomniac Video. I think I've seen someone here scooting around on, is it? I thought so. It's a cool little scooter. We were working on it, put some graphics on it, and everybody was making excuses to go try it out and test it out to make sure we approved, and we all did. So Scott O'Keefe donated the scooter. Tom Abbott of Genoa Graphics did up some graphic works with a little slogan on it. Eco Bags donated a bunch of canvas bags. Jeff from Morro Bay Cyclery donated two side collapsible baskets so you can fill up your canvas bags, put it in there, get to where you want to go. Gas prices hitting $3.50. Air pollution, it's a good combination. So if you get a chance, go check out the scooter at Scott's store. And I think it's going to be on display in a few other places in around San Luis Obispo. So just wanted to let you know that that was available.
Thank you.
Good
Good evening, Council. My name is Grant Crowell. Just a couple things before I talk about what I want to talk about. The Kite Festival, thank you very much. It's not often that an older body like this can feel like a kid, and I did, so thank you. And then I wanted to tell Pam, she's right about Queen's Closet, a friend of mine actually call it. So we're asking people to come this Saturday, and we're asking our oversized houses creeping into your neighborhoods, our oversized monster houses overshadowing your neighborhood and changing your character. We're concerned about the character of our town. So we're going to be asking, what is your vision for the neighborhoods? Is Morro Bay a different place than it was when you moved here? Is Morro Bay becoming a different place than you want it to be? And if you're answering any of these yes, then this workshop is designed for you, the local residents, to come together to share their concerns about the changing character of our quaint town. This will include education about what other cities are doing about mansionization and out-of-character houses. Again, those terms that we don't know how to describe. You know, we all have a different vision of what that term means. So let's discuss how this city can help maintain the lifestyle that we are all here enjoying, and talk about that we're not against growth. We want growth to happen in the city, but we want it to happen and maintain some of our lifestyle. So let's talk about that. So please bring your questions, and please bring your stories. And we'd like to invite the public, everybody that's watching tonight and all through the week, if you see this, please come Saturday. City council members, planning commissioners, staff. And this is a chance for you all to speak up. And it's not run by the city, so it'll maybe you'll feel a little more relaxed just talking in a group. So I hope to see you all there. Again, it's Saturday at 10 to noon at the Morro Bay Public Library. Hope to see you all there. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, and we do have a website if you're looking for more information. Thank you.
Thanks. Good evening. Marla Dobutan, North Morro Bay. And this has been a great opening. I mean, we have all these wonderful promotions going on, and the Kite Festival, and the young man that put the signage on the storm drains. That's a very good gift to all of us for public awareness. I'm also our grant for the or the donation for the fire plant is just awesome. And I want to thank whoever that person was. And anyway, I'm here just as a lead-in to the upgrade on the wastewater treatment plant. And I think probably you're going to be talking about money and what have you at that plant. I'd just like to say a little bit about something that's more valuable than money. It's value. The upgrade to the plant to tertiary treatment in a time frame that is as fast as possible is critical to protecting public health, marine life, and the tourist-dependent economy. A decision to upgrade the plant to tertiary treatment now would allow the communities of Morro Bay and Cayucas to benefit from currently available grant funding opportunities. Now, tertiary treatment and joined communities, any costs that we have. Also, we have a problem here with being a tourist community that we have huge fluctuations, maybe three times more inflow coming on big tourist events. And a tertiary plant is, according to Carollo, has a better ability to handle influxes, higher influxes. So I think that would benefit our community so we're not dumping into the ocean. The tertiary treatment could allow for water reclamation opportunities that would not only offset upgrade and operation costs, but would allow for water reuse in a water-scarce state, and at times would eliminate the discharge of wastewater to the ocean entirely. My time up?
Yep.
Okay, to be continued. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
I'm Betty Forsyth, and I'm a proud resident of Morro Bay, and I want you to know I have a problem. I don't want to go any place but stay in Morro Bay, but I have to because I have a granddaughter graduating in North Carolina, and I have another thing happening here, and I run to those things, and I enjoy them, and then I come back here, and we have festivals, and we have fun things going on, and also we have such a caring community that they come and volunteer. They just don't sit and say, oh, how nice things are. They come out, they work, they provide the joy that is necessary to get things successful. We have people that are paid that protect us. We have council people that are elected and doing good service for us. And so it gives me a problem. You know, I love being here and I love being there, and I'm saying to myself, how much more can I do here and how much more I can do there during these days in my life that I have left? Well, I hope I have a lot left. My mother celebrated her 94th birthday, so maybe I'll be in that category. But, you know, I never had the opportunity to be in a small community. I was born in Manhattan, New York, and then I came to Los Angeles, and I thought it was really backwards 50 years ago, and now I'm down here, and I'm saying, wow, I really made every round, and I can't believe how wonderful every place has been. So thank you for giving me this problem, but let's not get it too much now. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, friends and friends at home. I'm Joey Ricciano with the Ocean Outfall Group. And tonight, of course, I'm here to speak about the wastewater treatment upgrade.
Okay.
And I will reserve my comments about that until it comes up.
That's what I was asking.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And but for right now, there are other pressing needs. As you know, that Morro Bay Estuary is kind of coming of age right now. Recently, in an unprecedented spirit of cooperation, 30 environmental groups, the Fish and Game Commission, and a local sportsman's group got together and signed on to a letter that wound up being successful and won over from the Fish and Game Commission permission for the Morro water treatment issues is the power plant's once-through cooling intake. Now, the power plant, as you know, destroys between 17 and 33% of the larvae that come in through this little venturi. So there's no chance for those 17 to 33% of the larvae not to be destroyed from here. And the reason why is because this thing breathes. The estuary breathes twice a day with the tides. And so that would negate the ability of a wastewater treat of a power plant to be able to kill larvae, because you're not allowed to disturb these biological processes. And finally, the ramifications for the fireworks that are shot off next to the heron rookery. Now, really, to me, a community likes and needs to have fireworks. And I think that probably moving the fireworks back to the high school is advantageous anyway in many ways. Of course, the Coastal Commission will be looking closely at this because of the SMR. I really don't know why anyone would want to blow fireworks up next to a heron rookery during nesting season. Personally, I was surprised. But I know the people that are involved, and I know they're good people, and I think that everybody wants the same thing here. And I think these responsibilities need to be taken seriously, and we need to move the fireworks back to the high school. And so I conclude by thanking you for this opportunity to address you tonight.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Alon Perlman. I'm your neighbor from Los Osos. My name is Alon Perlman. And I want to say at this point, welcome to year one of the drought. I am in support of Janice Pieser's initiative in calling for meetings, encouraging public participation, and the letter that was published in the Sun Bulletin. I am in urging you to go to the full tertiary treatment for the extremely good reason that we are in a drought, and rather than pouring water into the ocean, you might be better off putting it on plants, including, say, the Semeterian cayucus, purple pipes, as opposed to any other water use. For the rest of my time, I'd just like to tell you more about myself, because it is customary not to speak about an agenda item that's coming up later. And I was in front of the Board of Supervisors supporting the request to have the golf to support to watering the golf fields. And the reason, there is that water is in the name of your, I believe it was described as water that has passed through inmates. In other words, it is already purple pipe water. Unfortunately, the breakage in the pipe, I understand, is now pushing those waters into the bay. The water balances that are to take place are crucial in times of drought to cause mass extinction. It's a little hard to tell, but this blue seal has a mask. See, he's got a scuba tank and he's got a mask. And that's really what's going to have to happen. The Water Board heard testimony from many people earlier this year in support of the conversion to tertiary treatment. The Water Board actually used a set of graphs to show that showed that the salinity level was dissipating immediately. I know I have to close. Their conclusion was that the level of salinity is the indicator of pollution in a secondary stream, as we all in the secondary waste stream. They use salinity as a measure of pollution.
Okay.
We know that that is actually human excrement. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else? Okay. We'll close. Whoops. One more.
Range angle. There we go. Good evening. My name is Nancy Johnson, and I'm here to share a little information with you. But first, let me tell you that on that very, very busy weekend where people were flying kites and doing parades and things, we also had the 21st annual garden tour sponsored by our local Association of University Women. I wanted to let you know that even with all the busy, busy things happening, we raised over $6,300 for scholarships. So I thought that was pretty exciting to have that happen on a day like that. Another day I want you to remember is tomorrow, Tuesday, May 15th, at 10 o'clock over at St. Timothy's Hall. We have Dr. Joe Sable. And if you've never met Dr. Joe, he's a really neat guy. He knows everything about gardening, but especially the city flower, the dahlia. So he will be there tomorrow at 10 with information about how to grow dahlias, how to propagate them, and some answers to any questions that you might have about what to do with your dahlia tubers. So that's tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We're going to serve a little coffee. And that's crooked, isn't it? There we go. That's better. And we hope that lots of people will come out and hear Dr. Sable talk and get those dahlias in the ground. I know mine are about this tall now. When they start to bloom, you know I'll be back with some for you, because the Garden Club will also be sponsoring another dahlia celebration the second Tuesday in September. So everybody needs to get their tubers in the ground now, water them twice a week, come tomorrow and find out how to take good care of them so you too can have prize-winning city flowers. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll close public comment. We'll take a short break, and then we'll start our public hearings.
Can we do some comments?
Oh, yes, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Actually, I have several questions. Sorry.
Okay.
To probably Mr. Keough, have we received that sewer study that we keep hearing about from Mr. Sadowski on flow? And has staff had a chance to analyze it or have a comment on it that they might share with council? Not necessarily tonight, but at some point.
And so they will be out of business. They do not have the ability to relocate because you have put the moratorium on on all businesses, and I still recommend that stay in place because we're not sure where he was going to relocate, whether that would be by a school, by a park, in an area that we were concerned of, and that's why we put it on. Because of comments from council and from citizens, though, I have elevated the review of this and get the ordinance to you a lot sooner than we expected. We expected to get it more in the fall or later on in the year because we didn't. It wasn't as pressing with the one open, but since we probably will not have one open, I'm looking to get it to you the second meeting in June or the first meeting in July. So I've moved it up on my plate to get done and get a draft of it to you. Let's shoot for the second meeting in June.
Excellent.
Madam Mayor, can I, before I forget, before we leave that, can I go back to the flow study? I'm presuming that they have some information that's germane to the city of Morro Bay. But if it has information that's outside of our boundaries, for example, in Cayucas, then that's a different story. So we're just going to look at it to see how it involves Morro Bay. But it's quite possible it may be some information that is relative to Cayucas. And if that's the case, I'd be happy to send it over there.
Excellent. Yes, buy raffle tickets for the Ego Cycle. It's one of the most fun things I have in my life right now. And then this anti-mansionization meeting that's planned is the same day as that smart growth meeting, and I believe it's at the same time,
mm-hmm. It
practically.
Is.
Yeah. So my notion is that we should divvy up where we're going to be. And I mean, I wanted to be at the mansionization thing, but I've reserved my place in the smart growth conference for the county. So is anyone else planning to go to the smart growth, or could I just go and report on that? Or
I'm doing smart growth.
You are?
Yes.
Well, who's going to the mansionization thing?
I can go either way. I don't know what. Are the two gentlemen going to be attending either one? Will you be working, Mr. Pierce?
I have a commitment at that point.
I haven't signed up for your class, but I'd be happy to go by the library for the mansionization.
Excellent. So we'd have two representatives at the mansionization one and then the two of us at Smart Growth. Okay.
I would, just if I could interrupt, encourage the Planning Commission to do the same thing, to split up their time as well.
That would be a very excellent idea, actually, for them.
With the reminder that only two of them can go if either of them want to speak.
Okay.
Brown Act.
Thanks.
Okay, Rick.
Nancy Johnson, if I could just ask you, who are the beneficiaries of your scholarships, and how many scholarships do you give out of that grand total, and how do people apply?
We have a scholarship that goes to a graduating senior from Morro Bay High School. One of the most exciting programs, I think, is the Tech Trek program for seventh graders from Los Osos Middle School. These are girls who go to a camp for 1 week at the University of Santa Barbara and study science and math issues. We have at least two scholarships that go to Cuesta College. So they're kind of spread around. And what else did you want to know? Okay, we're going to get started again. I did have one request of council. If there's no one here to speak to B2 and B3, if we could just have those read into the record and not. Is that all right if we can ask about that?
What's that?
B2 and B3, if no one's here on those, if we can read them into the record and let Andrea go. Is that okay with council? Is anyone here to speak on either B2 or B3, the assessment districts? No. Okay. Can we just get through those quickly, and then Andrea at least can exit? All right. So we'll go with B2.
Thank you. Very brief staff report. Tonight what you're asking you to do is adopt Resolution 2107, which directs the preparation of an engineer's report for the annual assessment for the Cloisters Park and Open Space. If you decide to adopt this resolution, we will prepare this report, which will detail the expenses we anticipate for maintenance of this 34 acres of parkland and open space for fiscal year 2007-2008. The current annual assessment for maintenance of the area is $148,944. By adopting tonight's resolution, we will proceed and bring back the engineer's report for the May 29th meeting. Concludes my staff report.
Okay, this is a public hearing, so we will open it. And seeing no one, we will close it. All right, may I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, B3, Andrea.
Thank you. Similar to the previous staff report, this is directing the preparation of an engineer's report for the North Point Natural Area Landscaping and Lighting Maintenance Assessment District. Again, with tonight's resolution, we will prepare an engineer's report, which will give you the anticipated maintenance costs for the 1.3-acre natural area for fiscal year 2007-2008. The current assessment for this landscaping and lighting maintenance assessment district is $5,645. We will also bring back the engineer's report for the May 29th City Council meeting.
Any questions? All right, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to Council. I hear a motion?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you. All right, now we'll get to the meaty issues, B1. And this is a presentation of the city wastewater treatment alternatives analysis in the Chorro Valley. And, okay, now which one are we doing first? I guess it's all connected. Which is first?
Who's up? Draft revenue program.
Okay, draft revenue program first. All right. And that's going to be Bruce or Susan or both?
I'm going to start it off. Mayor and City Council, tonight we have a presentation, actually two presentations on the wastewater treatment plant upgrade that we have been discussing for the last year. The first presentation is presented both by Carollo and what you're going to hear about tonight. The Carollo alternatives have looked at inside the treatment plant, actually the existing plant, upgrading that facility either to secondary or tertiary treatment. The Chorro report looks at the discharge of treated water into the creek for creek enhancement. Neither one of those alternatives includes, quote, purple pipe. These are alternatives that if you upgrade to tertiary treatment, you are going to end up discharging that water into the ocean or putting it into the creek for the creek discharge. If you wish to have a purple pipe project where somebody's actually reclaiming that water, the pipe and distribution system would be above and beyond the cost that you have seen so far. The other point I would like to make is not only on the purple pipe, but on the water quality issue of tertiary treatment, is that because you treat it to a tertiary level does not mean it is available for reclamation for all purposes. It will meet the Department of Health Services Title 22 requirements. It will have gone through tertiary treatment and be disinfected, but there are basin plan requirements put forth by the Regional Water Quality Control Board that look at, for example, TDS, which is total dissolved solid. So if your water has a high salt content, it may not be suitable for irrigation, or it may not be applicable for putting in the creek. And in the Chorro alternative, they're actually looking at reverse osmosis to remove the salts to get rid of that problem. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about tertiary treatment and purple pipe alternatives. And I know that's been a couple of people have asked me that question, so I just thought I'd throw that out up front. Tonight we will be at the end of our presentations on both the revenue program and the Chorro Valley looking for direction from council for the next steps that we need to take, and we do have some recommendations in the staff report. The first presentation is going to be by Mr. John Johnson of Carollo Engineers. We awarded a contract to Carollo in December of this past year to develop a draft revenue program, and that program basically looks at the project costs involved with upgrading the wastewater treatment plant in the future and trying to generate the revenue required to pay for that project and cover operations and maintenance expenses in the first year of operation, which would be the year 2014. He At staff's request, we based the draft revenue program on one of the Corolla alternatives that's been presented at the JPA meetings. The project cost that we used for the draft revenue program was actually full secondary treatment, which was recommendation one. It resulted in the lowest project cost that we've discussed so far. The higher, if you want to implement tertiary treatment, we can take the numbers, the revenue program numbers that John has generated in his spreadsheets and extrapolate that, and he can give you a cost for what it would cost to do, like, for instance, recommendation 1A, which is tertiary treatment with on top of the oxidation ditch. With that, I think I'm just going to turn it over to John and let him walk through the revenue program that he's generated. You have a series of he has a set of meeting
detail. What I'd like to do, though, is maybe give you just a little bit of briefing on the purpose of the draft revenue program. Then, because this is not a mystery novel, we'll go right directly to the back pages and tell you what the bottom line is. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the reasons that the increase is going to be so high. Then we'll talk a little bit about a disparity that we've discovered between your residential and your non-residential rates. And we're going to end up discussing a possible rate implementation schedule. So with that, let's get started. Basically, the revenue program is a mandate from the State Water Resources Control Board for anybody applying for a state revolving fund loan. And what they ask us to do is to develop the rates for a city in the first year of operation so that they want to make sure that you can pay them back their money. And, of course, they say after that it's up to you to raise your rates each year to take care of it. So keep in mind as I talk about this, the basic revenue program is for the year 2014-15, which is right now predicted to be the first year of operation. Now, if that's moved up for any reason, these numbers will change, of course. The revenue program is for, like Bruce said, the secondary treatment plant, which a cost to Morro Bay is approximately $22 million. And these dollars have been escalated so that they are up to the 2014-15 dollars. Now, this represents 70% of the total cost of the treatment plant. Now, we also realize that 70% number has not been fully established, but this was agreed upon with the staff at this time, and that's going to be a negotiated number between you and Cayucas. The official title of this is called the Draft Revenue Program, even though it is the document that you will send into the state along with the facility plan and the EIR and that type of thing to apply for your loan. It will stay a draft until 90% of construction, and that's when the costs are better known. You'll know your construction costs. We'll know what the inflation numbers are at that time, and if needed to be, then we revisit it at that time and update it. Now, that's the basic revenue program itself. In addition to that, your staff has asked us if we would take a look at possible implementation schedules that would bring this rate that's set for 2014, start that earlier so that you could collect some extra money to pay for the collection system work, and also there's going to be a small amount of money that's going to be non-eligible in the loan cost. So that's a second step beyond what's called the normal draft revenue program, which we will address at the end of my talk here. Okay, jumping right into the study results, again, I keep emphasizing these are 2014 and 2015 dollars. That says same thing, 78%. They would go then from $1.78 per 100 cubic feet to $3.17 per 100 cubic feet per month. Now, the non-residential rates vary amongst the different categories, and you already have a rate schedule that was developed back in the late 70s when you had your other loan that set these particular relationships. And we didn't monkey with those relationships because they were approved by the state at one time and were approved to be equitable. So we didn't monkey with that. But as a group, we find that these people have not been paying, this group has not, non-residents have not been paying their share. So they're going to have to increase by 120% in order to get up to the same level as the residential in the year 2014. Now, again, if you look at that at today's dollars, that's about an 81% increase. Now, the impact fees will need to be increased by $2,150, and that basically is a calculation that says you're going to get so many residents in that year, and they have to pay for their share of the wastewater treatment plant. Unfortunately for you, the biggest share is upgrades, which falls on the existing users. But on the new users that are coming in, they pay for it through connection fees. So you need to increase that from $2,150. That brings it up to a total of $4,470, assuming that you keep your existing in place. Now, reasons that these are so high, and I'm just going to sort of list these, and we can talk about them in detail as you like. First off, you're projecting 7 years in advance, and we're projecting that your expenses are going to go up by 3% every year. Also, there's approximately $140,000 increase in operation and maintenance cost for this new treatment process. Then there's what they call a wastewater capital recovery fund. The state requires that you put about 100, well, it's one half of 1% of the loan, but that turns out to be $110,000 a year into a fund that needs to be left there for the next time you want to either expand or upgrade. Now, in talking to the staff, however, and many cities do this because you still are going to have, even if you spend all this money you want on your near-term projects of the collection system, you're still going to have an aging system. So we agreed on $400,000 to be put in there. That allows you then the $290,000 a year to be used for that purpose of upkeeping your upgrade in the future. Not necessarily upgrade, but just maintenance and whatever you want to use it for. Now, last but not least, your state revolving fund loan is $1.4 million. When you stop to think about your present total expenses, about $1.8 million, and you're adding $1.4 million besides all these other increases, you can see why these are about $1.8 million. In the year 2014, they're going to jump to $4 million. Okay, let's talk a little bit about disparity between the residential and non-residential. Bottom line is that the non-residential group, and I'm talking as a group, and this is schools and industry, businesses and all those types of things, everything except single-family, multifamily, apartments, and residential, has fallen behind sometime over the last 25 years, just have not been paying their fair share, or they're not now. An example, in the year 2005, 2006, they brought in 26% of the total revenue. They should have been bringing in 36%. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but when you talk about the fact that they only represent about 25% of the total, they would have to raise their fees 40% in order to make up that 10%. And so just to get even. So that means that they're roughly 40% behind at this particular point. And like I say, somewhere in the last 25 years, when your revenue program was put into place in the late 70s or early 80s, somewhere in there, it was deemed to be fair and equitable by the state. So that meant that they should have been equal, paying their fair share at that time. Somewhere between now and then, they've sort of slipped behind in the increases, and residential has gone up, and residential has been carrying a heavier load than they should have. The state requires that they catch up in order to be fair and equitable. Now let's talk a little bit about the rate implementation. This, again, like I said, the city staff asked us to take a look at some various scenarios, and there are many scenarios you can look at. But what we did is they said they needed approximately $5 million for near-term upgrades to the collection system. We anticipate you're going to need somewhere around $500,000 for non-eligible costs. By the time you inflate the construction cost from the year that this $5 million report, or the report said $5 million, you escalate that up to the midterm of construction, it's going to be somewhere another $500,000, maybe $750,000, somewhere up in there. So you're going to need a minimum of $6 million to do those two projects. Well, what we did is we looked at these various scenarios, and one that we thought was good, but again, like I'm telling you, I'm talking to the staff, they're going to come back and we're going to try some others, but is if you were to wait until July of 08, because right now you have present resolution that has increases built into it, if you wait until the year July of 08, and then you take a uniform rate every year up until 2014, you can collect somewhere in excess of $6 million, somewhere between close to $7 million for your near term and your non-eligible. And you will meet the 2014 12% each year between July of 08 and through July of 2014 in order to meet that rate implementation schedule I just described. Now, and like I say, that will collect somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 million. Now, there are several other ones that they can do. Now, that pretty well, I guess, sums up the revenue program. And I'm more than happy to get into whatever details that you might have, and hopefully I can answer them. So if you have any questions, why, shoot away.
I've got one question right off the bat. The increases that you're talking about are for the Project 1, is that correct, that takes it to secondary level?
That's strictly secondary level, yes. If you add tertiary, it's about a $2 million project. And what happens is, if you think in terms of for every $1 million, your payment is $64,200. So in $2 million, that would be somewhere around $130,000 more. And for every $100,000 you increase it, your residential goes up $1. So that would mean that your residential would go up $1.30 to cover that, and that is also approximately 4%. So your commercial, your non-residential would go up 4%. Your overage fee would go up 4%, and your flat rate goes up 4%, which happens to be right around $1.30.
Okay,
and now that's just for the construction cost.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What is there any, I mean, we're trying to get grant funding to go to tertiary to help us with mm-hmm. that $2 million. Do you know of any requirements on grant funding that water be used? I mean, is it okay to just dump it in the ocean, or do we have to install the purple pipes? And in that case, how much more does that add to the equation? That's where I'm going. Is it something we can do without putting in the purple pipes, without having any use for the reclaimed water right now, and still potentially get grant funding, or do you even know that?
I don't know. That'll be out of my realm. I don't know whether Dave or anybody else can answer that.
If we had to install the purple pipes to get the grant funding, do you have any idea of the cost of that? Oh, okay.
I'll take a crack at that one.
Okay.
What we're proposing to do is to come back.
Okay, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Dylan Wade, Dylan. Senior civil engineer. What we're proposing to do is to come back and take some of the numbers that are that's been kicked around in a preliminary phase. We're going to bring that back for comparison purposes when we talk about some of the other alternatives of what it would cost to do a reclamation facility, what that would entail. Those numbers right now, all we have are just really rough, and so it's not anything that we're comfortable presenting, but in the next couple of weeks we should be there.
Okay, so that at some point here we're going to be able to say, to do one, it's going to cost us this. To do 1A, it's going to cost us that. And not put in grant funds.
A couple of weeks.
Okay, so by our next meeting or the JPA meeting? Or I'm trying to – we've told people we're going to be discussing this. I want to know when we're going to be able to actually compare the apples to apples.
Madam Mayor, I'd be happy to jump in. I think we saw the purpose of this in giving us some direction on what kinds of alternatives to study. As Bruce mentioned at the beginning of his presentation, this involved just tertiary at the plant and then tertiary in a reclamation system out in Chorro Valley. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a kind of a modified variation of a project that involves extending the Purple Pipe, and that was beyond the scope of the study that we looked at. And if you'd like us to look at that, we'd be happy to do that, and that's what Dylan's explaining. And that's the kind of feedback we'd like to hear.
Okay.
Also, if you'd like us to look at different rate scenarios, any feedback that you can provide, then we can come back to you and study those because we've got a bit of a range here that John Johnson's presenting.
Okay. Other questions? Betty?
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering if you have the document before you, yes, or do you just know it by heart maybe because you wrote it? I was wondering on page 1 and the figures on page 4, when you talk about this peak season dry weather flow, how do these numbers in the 2.36 million relate to the point decimal figures in the chart?
The peak season here really does not enter into my calculations. The first six chapters, this was taken pretty much out of the facility plan that was written, and in retrospect, I probably should have deleted that because I work on the average for the year.
Averages, okay.
And so the treatment plant, of course, is designed for that, and mm-hmm. then, but I have a fixed cost for the treatment plant, but my flows are all average over the year.
So we pay attention to page 4, and we'll ignore page 1, it sounds like.
Well, 4 is the population figures. Is that what you're talking about?
But it also has the
6.
Page 6.
Is that what you're talking about, 6?
Well, I was looking at this PSDWF column.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then the maximum column before it.
Yeah, okay, just as far as this report, I don't use those numbers. They
okay.
came directly out of the project report, and we
okay.
put in this same one here.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I probably should have edited them out because it does raise questions. I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Also, maybe this is for Mr. Ambo. Part of this increase is because we want to pay for the collection system upgrades that need to happen, and this continuous upgrade is for that, I see primarily. How much did we already put $200,000 toward that $5 million that we need to spend, and plus we've hired someone? When we approved the plan a year ago, did we not also commit you $200,000?
Right. They identified an implementation plan, and
mm-hmm.
that was an order of magnitude. Just kind
funded
of
the effort to identify the problems in the collection system. So we've kind of got two things. We've got the capital needs that we know about, which is the $5 million that John's referring to,
mm-hmm.
but we've also got this investigatory effort
mm-hmm.
of going out, finding the spots of inflow and infiltration in areas where we have pipe problems, and the costs to mitigate those problems
mm-hmm.
are not included in the current rates.
Okay. And then, since you are there, the costs, like the hiring of the new people into the water system, and then this investigation, that's coming out of the rate increases? Because I thought we were doing the rate increases to catch up on our operations.
Yes, and a big part of what we did was to get our staffing up to the four that we need to maintain the system and mm-hmm. to do these investigatory operations and to fund the investigations. Unfortunately, with a dry winter, we couldn't get too far, so we've only got a few projects that we've identified to date. Mm-hmm. But we need to, with rainfall and doing flow studies during those rain events, we'll be able to better identify just, and I'll say how bad because there are problem areas. We'll identify the extent of the problems we have, and then we'll be able to assign costs and priorities to those mitigations. But the rate increase, just to reemphasize, that the cost increase, hopefully we'll be able to allocate some of those dollars to the rehabilitations, to the fixing of the I&I. But at least during the initial phases, those costs are going to find the problems.
And just to make sure I heard you, the I&I problems are not being fixed with the 5.5 that's being included here.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. And then, again, this may be for Mr. Ambo. We don't have a discount right now for low-income people on either water or sewer. Is that true?
Yeah, we were going to look into the. We have water.
It was someone in the audience had told us that we thought that they thought that was discontinued.
Betty, I think Susan has an answer.
Oh, Ms. Slayton probably knows, Mr. Nance.
I did check with the city.
Okay.
And they told me that
all right. Number one, we can't hear you without a mic. But number two, let's have our finance director respond first, and then if you've got something else, we'll get that.
Madam Mayor, City Council. When Proposition 218 came to pass and there was a legal case I think it's been resolved. I'm not completely sure on that one, but it was in the works. One of the things that they talked about was being fair and equitable. Allowing discounts for seniors would mean that the general fund would have to cover that amount. So if you were going to say that you were going to give a senior citizen a $5 rate and the rate should be $10, the general fund would have to pitch in the other $5 for that person. So what we did was we stopped offering the discounts at that time until we could get this resolved.
And if we wanted to reinstitute that, would that be part of your plan to come back with that instituted in there?
No, I haven't been approached with that.
Okay.
No. I mean, my first would be, I don't think it applies to, 218 doesn't apply to, applies to counties, cities, and special districts and not to PG&E. They're regulated by PUC.
Bill, questions?
No.
Rick?
Just one. When you were talking about the non-residential and the number of years and each year, I think that would come up to, what, 50% for non-residential? If you're talking about July 08 to 14?
Yes. Yeah, if you went up at 12% a year because it compounds, it would get you up to that 120% that you needed by the year 2014.
Okay, because somehow I had a 50% increase for business, so I'm off, right? For those total number of years for the increases, it would equal out to a 50% increase?
No, it should be 120.
120.
From today's rate to the 2014 rate is 120%.
Okay, I was talking 2008 to 2014. If we started in July 08.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know, because you got some raises in between now and then that I said will take place.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the number from 2008 up.
Okay.
From today's rate, I have all my figures from today's rate. And granted, you will already have some increases because I think you got a 5% per year. It didn't go into effect in 07, so it'll go in. You'll have 1.5%, which will be July of 08, will go into place. And so that 5% is part of the 120%.
All right, thanks.
Because I'm dealing with today.
Melody?
By October 07, we'll be charging people $21.60 for residential. That's the rate increases that we've already put in place.
Yes, you have them in place.
Okay. So I want to just go through your presentation and ask some questions. So if we go back to number one, E, it says the city staff requested implementation schedule.
What page are you on?
Page one.
Oh, okay.
Number one, mm-hmm. letter E.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry,
okay.
His presentation.
Gotcha.
Okay. Okay. These non-eligible SRF loan costs, how much is non-eligible and why would it be non-eligible? Do you have any idea about that?
Well, in general, there are certain things throughout any kind of project this estate doesn't deem to be eligible. And we have found over past that it's probably 2 to 2.5%. And that's what this, I said approximately $500,000 that I quoted in here. Mm-hmm. That's 2.5% right around in that area. And those are estimates at this time, and then until such times that they sit down and go through the plans and everything, we don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Okay. Then under number 2A in the report, it says increasing our rates to 3410, mm-hmm. and that's increasing them by 2014. We would be paying.
That's 2014 is when 3410. If you
has to be my rate in 2014, 3410.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in your opinion, will that pay?
Then we added to that the new O&M costs. We added to that the increase of the recovery fund that was agreed upon with the staff. And then we added to that the payment to the SRF loan. And that's how we came up with the 2014. Okay. Now, if you want to, like I said, if you want to pay for the near collection system, then you got to start increasing those earlier, and it increases faster than your expenses go up, so you're making some money in between. But there's two different things here. The state requires that by 2014 you have these rates in there so that you have money to pay them back that first year of operation. But your staff wanted us to look additionally at collecting money in advance. And so that's what we looked at, that steady rate going up. We'll do that.
Right. And I think the public needs to be made aware over and over several times that it's not just to upgrade the wastewater treatment plant, but it's also adding in that collection
that's
system
right.
upgrade mm-hmm. that we have to do
that's
by
right.
state laws. Okay. I'm going to go to the interesting stuff right now, and that's on the top of page two about the impact fees, which I assume are connection fees?
Yes, connection fees.
Okay. Same thing. So why only slightly double them instead of, like, triple them? Or whose idea was it to go to 4407?
Well, the increase right now you have, what is it, 2,259 or some such number.
Mm-hmm.
And the 2,150 increase is simply taking the anticipated number of people or equivalent residential units is what I use, in the year 2014-15, divide that into the portion of the payment that is dedicated to expansion, and that's new people. And in your particular case, somewhere around 7% of this plant is expansion. So 7% of that $1.4 million has to be paid for in connection fees by these new people. So you just take the number of equivalent units, divide it into that $90,000 is what it is, and that tells you what your connection fee has to be.
Okay.
Now, what I did here was I went through your past history the last 6 or 7 years, and I found that you had a year where you had 41 equivalent residential units come in, you had a couple of 46s, you had some 50s. And so because we're picking 1 year out of that way in advance, I said, let's assume the worst case scenario. So I chose 40, the lowest that you've ever had in the last 7 years of new buildings coming in. And that's what I used so that to make sure that you would have money to pay that portion of the loan payment.
I'll come back to this in a minute because I do want to talk about the connection fee, probably with my own staff, but I don't quite know that I got that answer. But let me go to the number of homes thing that you just raised.
The number of what?
The homes that we're assuming. And I think 40 homes, but then in the same report over on page 9, it quotes us as these impact fees on 60 new houses, and now you're telling me 40. Now, I like the 323 number.
Well,
I think
you,
I'll get
you
more.
Want to remember the 323, if I understand what you're talking about, you're going mm-hmm. from the total over the seven-year period.
No, I'm not, sir. On page 6, I'm going from single-family ERU accounts in 2005 over to the ERU accounts, single-family, in 2014. And I did some subtraction, probably without a calculator, but I believe it's 323.
Yes.
Okay.
From 05 to 214.
And I'm really open to this. Like, are these different from, am I misreading this? Or?
Let me say this. When you're looking ahead to get an average over several years, it may go up and down like this. And so I went back over that same seven-year period, and I took the average over the last 7 years, and I projected it ahead for the next 7 years to jump for my ER units up to 214. But when I went in to do the impact fee, because we're talking about one specific year, and knowing it goes like this, just in case it was when one of the, hit one of those low ones, I used 40. This was based on 52, because that's the average over the last 7 years. But the lowest you've ever had is 41. So I said, let's use 40, because I'm picking a single year out of all 7 years. Does that make sense? Just to
sure.
be conservative.
Just to be conservative. We'll take 40. I see different numbers all the time, but for you, we'll take 40. 40
okay.
houses. So then my last question, I've got lots of other questions later, but I'd like to hear from the public. But my last question is, when we get to this amount that you're charging the $34.10 in the $2014, that takes into account the 40 times the new impact fee dollars as paying its
yes.
share, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. So we always consider
but if
that.
If you happen to get 52 that year, you're going to get a little bit more money.
Be lovely.
But to be on the safe side, so that to make sure that you had money in that particular year, we use that lowest number.
And the other part of the equation, just to remind council and staff, is that if I charged them more for connection fees, I'd get more money too, right?
That is true. If you know, that's another way you could do. You could raise the connection fees here, but that's something that you'd have to decide. If you tell me that let's go ahead and raise connection fees and use that, then we can lower the user fees over here. But those are they're just decisions that were made, and this is a draft, and you have the right to say let's raise connection fees to $10,000, and then you'll make some extra money, and then your user fees are going to come down.
Thank you.
That's the decision.
That option does not encourage affordable housing, however. I have a question on page 4, and I don't know, I gather that you didn't put these numbers together, but this is talking about a population projection, and it seems to me that we haven't had that kind of...
We took a look, and yes, the rate wasn't that high. So I used for my revenue programs, and again, to be on the conservative side and make sure that you had enough money, we used the lower rates, which turned out to be about 7% increase for residential, 2% for business. On an average, it turned out to be about 5%, which is roughly half of
okay.
what this number is here.
Thank you, because that was a little
yes.
scary when I thought if we have to
yes,
have
no,
that
we,
many people to make the money, we're going to
be in
trouble.
Some of the things you run into in doing these where they predict these high predictions, and it's fine for a treatment plant because you're going
right.
to catch up with it sometime anyway, but right. but when it comes to that year that you need the money, you better be a little conservative.
Okay, thank you. That relieves me on that. Okay, any other questions before we open it to the public? All right, this is a public hearing. Anyone wishing to address this issue and have some questions for Mr. Johnson, we'll have him respond afterwards.
Good evening, Council. Jim Nance, Morro Bay citizen. I gave you a paper, so most of what I've said, if I don't say it, you've got it already. My main concern is I feel that the fixed income and low-income residents of this town are not going to be able to pay these fees. I know that if this goes up, this is going to be my highest utility. And our city attorney did mention about there's a problem with cities being able to do a CARE program or a low-income program. I think this should still be looked into, maybe something in the state. I'm sure there's other cities that would be looking into having that changed. Right now, the phone company gives a 50% discount on the their services, their basic service. The gas company gives a 27% discount for low income on their service, and that's 20% for PG&E. Oops, I got PG&E and the gas company mixed up. But anyway, those are some pretty good discounts, and I'm sure they're made up for by the businesses and the customers that are able to pay more and are making money off of the utilities that they're buying. One thing that's happened in this community is the fish processing plants are now gone. I believe that's why in the 70s they were getting a good rate on the utility, on the water and sewer, because they, in order to process fish, they had to use a lot of the service, a lot of water, and run a lot of sewer. But they are now gone, so that we can't say we don't have that excuse to give that discount. Our fishing industry, if we were going to subsidize our fishing industry, that would be a good thing, but that's a thing of the past now. So I believe schools and industry could afford to
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor, Council, staff, friends, and friends at home, Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your leadership in bringing this important issue to the fore. In talking about going to full secondary treatment of sewage, I'd like to make it clear that I'm a 51-year-old man. I'll be 52 in November. I was 16 years old when you were supposed to have done this. I was 16. I had a paper route. I lived in Queens, New York. That is a lifetime ago. At that point, full secondary treatment of sewage was the minimum requirement of the Clean Water Act. Here we are 30-something years later, and we're still discussing jumping for the basement. As far as prices go, you know, no one really ever gave us permission to save money using the ocean as a cheap dumping ground for garbage. The otters are dying. The reputation of the city as a paradise is besmirched. The truth is, we should be going to full tertiary treatment, at least. There's a saying that there's never time to do it right, but there's always time to do it over. Because secondary treatment is 35-year-old standard, minimum standard, there's a good chance that tertiary will soon be the benchmark. And so what would we have to do? We would have to do this over again? Now, I urge you to go tertiary. Remember that Morro Bay and the cities around it would be qualified for monies that they're not qualified for now if you went regional. And in conclusion, I would also say that you've caught the attention of the state. The Ocean Protection Council is very interested in the situation, and they want to help. Los Osos is interested in going regional. And then finally, identifying funding mechanisms. I have urged this council once and twice and thrice to please look into the situation with Cayucas, who has $4.8 million in illegal reserves that they're just not supposed to be holding on to. I have made it clear that it's a violation of the arbitrage rule, which forbids joint powers agencies from acting like financial institutions. The Cayuga CSD is not Chase Manhattan. They are not a bank. They are charged with treating the sewage. Now, they've been dragging us down a long time, and it's time for us all to pull together and bring ourselves, kicking and screaming if need be, into the 21st century. Our ocean environment is precious. Let's take care of it. I thank you for this opportunity to address you tonight, and again, I thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bill Martin, Morro Bay. And yeah, I also want to support full tertiary, but I also want to talk about purple pipe, uses for the water. About 20 years ago, Bob Stoller of the Avocado Ranch behind Morro Bay, Morro Creek, asked Morro Bay to give him tertiary water in exchange for him allowing his wells to be, you know, in exchange to Morro option. You have to look at the value of that property in reciting that sewer plant someplace else. You go, what is the value of those present improvements there as opposed to doing a joint venture up the Chorro Valley or someplace with Los Osos? And would it make sense to piggyback with them as opposed to taking this prime oceanfront property and just upgrading the sewer plant? It doesn't make sense. You know, just strictly look at the numbers, but I mainly wanted to say full tertiary, if I understood it right, and maybe I don't, that it's going to cost $1.30 a month. Maybe it's more than that. But then that seems like a very, very low price to pay to not dump. I think it's 1 million gallons. That's like 3 acre feet a day that go out in the ocean. And there's definitely demand. There's uses. There's been another 60 acres of avocados just planted. And you could talk about some type of an exchange where they could use the tertiary water in exchange for possibly obtaining some of their pure water that could be used for potable water for the city. So, I mean, these are just some thoughts as far as trade-offs where tertiary would be a kind of a win-win situation. And then, again, I want to make the point to really think twice about siting your sewer plant in your probably one of your most prime pieces of property in Morro Bay, if you have an alternative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Marla Jobutan, North Morro Bay. And I'm also here to suggest that we get on the ball and come up with a regional solution. We have three communities right now, both needing sewage treatment plants. Ours an upgrade, Los Osos, the facility. It's absolutely ridiculous that we would have two secondary plants surrounding this national estuary. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've come to the point where we can't just draw arbitrary lines in the sand and get the job done that needs to be done. And what needs to be done is to clean up the ocean and clean up our water sources, our aquifers. And if you think that the drought is something that's just going to maybe come a little bit and go, I don't think so. The White House staff, the Pew Commission, everybody is saying the dependence and the ocean. The life on this planet depends on the health of the ocean. We have been derelict for the last 25, 30 years, dumping raw sewage and primary treated sewage out here in this bay. The southern sea otters have a 40% of the dead otters found in the complete coastal region in California. 40% of those were found on my beach that I call Dead Otter Beach, which is the point north of North Point, that beach right there in front of Chevron. Morro Bay is also the only area in that sea otter region that dumps primary sewage at his employ while he was working at Cayuga Sanitary District. And if Mr. Schultz would like to ask them a Public Records Act and ask for that information. That would be helpful. You can also ask for the information about the $1.2 million FEMA OES funding that Mr. Sadowski was investigated and gave a 9-hour presentation for their collection systems.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, Bill Woodson, resident. I commend Mr. Johnson in his attempt to try to clarify on what it's going to cost Morro Bay for the minimum lowest cost recommendation one. But sorry, folks, I'm very confused. And I know you've been at it a lot longer than I. I sat here and tried to stay up with you, but I just couldn't do it. It's my understanding now that this $19.16 a month includes a study to determine the upgrade requirements. That's what I understand. Now, if you want to add the upgrade, you have to add another $5 to $6 million to that. And then if you want to add the new sewer plant requirements, that's going to go to 3410. So does that 3410 that's shown in Mr. Johnson's synopsis include the sewer upgrade $5 million? I don't know.
We'll get that explained again.
But my point being is that if you really want the public to make some recommendations, we need clearer information. We haven't even gotten information on a detailed cost estimate on what it would cost for a Chorro Valley satellite plant. We don't have an estimate on purple pipe distribution to other users, whether it be Morro Valley, whether it be schools or parks or plants or golf courses or anything. We need these things. We need it reduced to monthly payments. We want to know what it's going to cost us. I understand it's going to cost a little more than a dollar a month to go to tertiary. But that's what I understand is putting tertiary into the ocean. If you want to take it out of the ocean and put it somewhere, it's going to cost more than that. How much more? Where are you going to put it? How are you going to distribute it? Are you going to store it? Are you going to pump it? We need to know these things if you really want the public to get engaged into a decision-making process with you. Of course, there's other things that I'm worried about. I'm worried about redundancy. I'm worried about how effective this upgrade is going to reduce the amount of flow during a storm. That's when a lot of water goes into the sewer, and that's when it's overwhelmed, and that's when he starts dumping chlorine in and puts it into the ocean. And if we go through an upgrade, is Cayucas going to go through a similar upgrade? I mean, they have all this money that they're talking about. Are they going through an upgrade of their infrastructure to make sure that in a
major dent in your drought management deficit, and this is the option of using purple pipes, should very much be worth what works out to be, I think, a $1.7 million difference between the upgrade of $50.4 million to the highest of $52.1, which is what is necessary for tertiary. That difference is less than 4%. And for that difference, you get the ability, the potential, to make wastewater completely worthless wastewater that's damaging the ocean. You can make it into a replacement for potable water. And not a direct replacement, but you'll be able to conserve it. As for Cayucas, Cayucas also needs a plan B. I mean, when Cayucas runs out of water, what are they going to use at the cemetery? What will push up the daisies in the Cayucas cemetery when they have? Obviously, additional planning and investments will have to be made to take purple pipes all the way up to Cayucas, but that's just something that they will have to do, and that's a choice you'll have to make in terms of the Joint Powers Agreement. But in terms of communicating with the public, naturally there will be some people who will see this as a new tax, and be resistant to it. And it's essential that you hear all people, but present to them a plan that lets them understand that it is their in their own best interest to do the right thing, to put forth the best quality water. It's about having quality water. It's about the fact that currently there are restrictions on the waters that's running down. Your state water is, and I was came in front of you, and I stated to you that you should not be looking at November as your crunch time, that you will be looking at interruptions in your water supplies. You simply don't know what you don't know. You have a potential of building a cushion to deal with hard times ahead. And you should communicate to the public to allow them to make the best choice. And it's all about the water. So you're sitting on a mountain of gold. I call it Montaña de Orina. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Noah Smuckler, a resident of Morro Bay, a member of the Public Works Advisory Board, and the chair of the San Luis Bay chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Wanted to start tonight by just recognizing the many hours of deliberation that has gone on with this project. Actually, this was what got me involved with the Surfrider Foundation in the first place about 5 years ago. And in recognizing the time that's been spent, the money that's been spent looking into this, I feel that's something that we need to acknowledge when we make this decision as to where we're going to go with this plant. And it's one of the reasons why the Surfrider Foundation strongly supports a tertiary upgrade. And we agree with the idea that it doesn't make sense to dump water into the ocean. And we think it does make sense to dump clean water into the ocean if it's the other option is dumping water that is potentially polluting. A little bit further over that commitment level and committing fully, we can go ahead and make this project something that's coming back to us, that gives back to the community for the long term, and creates something that we can rely on, another water source that we can rely on, which and at this time it's increasingly obvious that that's one of the most important things that our community can do. So along those lines, we really do want to thank the council members for your public support of the tertiary project and urge the reclamation is something we should look at, especially because on the NRDC grant list, there is a grant on there for a reclamation project, and we would submit that it's important to go with both of these side by side. Why go through all this effort and wait 7 years, 8 years from now when the project's done, only to start it all over again? And the delay is something that is only going to increase the cost of this project. You look at what other communities have gone through when they've waited, and the price tag only raises. And right now we have a chance to do it. We have support potentially, and there's obviously grant money and interest from the state out there. So let's go for this and really value what we have here. And I look forward to this 24th meeting. It's a difficult decision, but when we invest in our water supply, it's one of the best investments we can make. And I do want to thank the Cayucas and Morro Bay Council for committing to credit Cayucas for any water that was recycled from this project. So Cayucas would receive benefit without having to invest in a reclamation type project to get the water back to them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Carrie Filler. I just had a couple of questions. I guess I'll just propose them to you, and maybe you can clarify them with the rate information. I was looking over the skinny handout. I didn't have all the information you had. One of the pieces I was curious about was about the 7% increase in capacity and a division of 7% of the cost of upgrading the plant. But I don't know that upgrading the plant to a 7% more capacity is actually equal to only 7% of the actual cost of the project. So I would maybe argue that you have to look at the actual cost of what it takes to expand the plant and then look at what that cost is overall to the whole project. Just don't give it, you're only increasing it 7%, so you can only get 7%. That 7% may actually cost you 50% of the project. Anybody else? In your head starts to spin with too many percentages. another couple of things. The mayor had stated that $10,000 may be too much for affordable housing. I actually really had to chuckle because there is no affordable housing in Morro Bay. I've seen teardown houses at $350,000, so a brand new house coming in. I've seen the monster houses go up, and who can really blame them when a piece of property costs you $100,000? Houses in my neighborhood are selling for $700,000. They're big houses. I think deferring those costs to new people coming in and the increases we're going to be seeing as residents, as the character of our towns change, of these big homes coming in, they're everywhere. I think that we should probably put off as much as we can to them, not to put the screws to them, so to speak, but it'd be the lion's share. They're going to be coming in and something we've been suffering, and make that lower. But then the next set of water you use over that would go to a certain point. If you go over a percentage above that, then you pay even a higher rate, not a set rate per cubic foot. I think it's a CCF that you use, sort of taking the PG&E standard. I get hit all the time. They only give me 260 units of electricity at my low rate. My friend gets 600. I'm not really being treated fair by PG&E. He's one person in a house, and we're two people. So you could continue to take the base rate like that. You use more, you're just going to pay more. You got a green lawn, you want it to be that way? Terrific, but it's going to cost you. It shouldn't go to the people who are living in one little small house.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rick Keller, Morro Bay. We are Morro Bay. We're not Pismo. We don't want their legacy. I understand. Everything costs more these days. Without a good infrastructure, we are no longer a town. A lot of our roads, our sewer systems, our water systems are getting older. It costs money. Fine, we're looking at $1 a day to get clean water in the ocean. I'm like, that's not so bad. I have to brew my coffee at home rather than go out. I can live with that. Now, if I got to pay $2 a day and we actually get the Primo system, the best system out there, and we're actually reclaiming our water and putting it back in, I'm fine with that. I challenge anybody in this room, every time I need my toilet cleaned out, I'll pay you $1 a day to clean my toilet out. That's a really cheap price to have our systems up and running. I don't think anybody in here would want to handle everybody's waste for a mere $2 a day or $1 a day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Peters, members of council, staff. My name's Ed Biagini. I guess Mr. Johnson, in a nutshell, did one of the most eloquent jobs of telling us how we were going to end up touching our toes in some capacity down the road. And I'm going to make a couple comments out of total ignorance about what's going on. And I kind of echo Mr. Woodson. We need an education. I mean, I'm willing to learn, and I've got to, I want to tell other people, but I don't have a clue. I've got so many questions regarding how some of the decisions were made that, for example, business isn't paying its fair share. When we did analysis of the water rates back in 93 when the shrine out here known as the desal plant was built and our water rates went up just exorbitantly at that time to pay for the desal plant, and business is the one that carried the bulk of that. And what we saw was that business was using 13% of the water and paying for 77% of it, of the revenue generated at that time. So we were trying to argue that it wasn't fair that the businesses were having to pay such a high rate. So I'm not arguing, I'm just questioning because I don't know where the information came from that we're only paying 26% or whatever it is, and that we need to pay more. The other thing is that I remember as a lifelong golfer, I remember when the shrine to Bud Laurent was built called Dairy Creek and to pay for upgrades in the collection system. Now we're being told that we need to pay for upgrades in the collection system. And next year we'll be told we'll be paying for upgrades in the collection system. And again, I'm not arguing the need to pay more for the collection system, but we haven't been taught or educated as to, are we going to get nickeled and dimed to death? Or are we going to change the phrase next year and we're going to be collecting for something else? At some point, we should be collecting money enough to pay for It's just like the Measure Q money. Today we're worried about what we're going to do this coming year, and you've done a great job of allocating that. But next year things are going to be different. I mean, we're not going to need a new fire truck. So I guess we need an education, and I hope you guys will reach out to us and teach us, whether that's Bruce Bill or whoever it is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. You know, citizens elect you folks to watch the details because they don't have the time to. They don't have the inclination to. But what they do is they count on you to watch their backside and to do the right thing by them. This subject is a very difficult subject because it involves a lot of numbers. Okay, so I'll try and do the minimum I can with numbers, but make it clear to folks at home, especially, you know, what's going on here. First of all, we can meet our current...
Excuse me, Mr. Barta, could you refer us to that page? Because I believe we
Yeah, that's in the January 30th report that you received. It's not probably not in front of you tonight. It was in the public copy I got this afternoon.
Could somebody on AGP help him zoom it a little bit, maybe, so we can see it and people...
I'll get to those numbers, actually, in a second. Hope you're not counting this as against my time. We can meet our current and future legal discharge requirements by construction of approximately a $9 million. Actually, the figure up there shows $8.5 million. This is in your January 30 report. This will bring us to full secondary standards. That's the actual cost of construction. Of course, the estimates provided by engineers, they always want to be safe, okay? They added a nice, cool 55% to that number and came up with $13.84 million as the cost. Then you add to that the operations cost. It brings the number up to something like, in 2006 dollars, $24.2 million. Okay, that's the money we're talking about having to raise here and raise increase. And I want to look at the folks at home now. They're talking about raising your rates 78% if you're sitting there at home. And if you're a business, they're talking about raising your rates by a factor of 2.2 or 120%. Here's the really bad news. If this council makes a decision to do anything other than the least expensive alternative, you will have proportionally higher rates. And I want to say that that's in your current report on page 4, and it's in bold and underlined by your staff. They rarely do that, but there it is. And it says you're going to have a proportional increase for anything beyond that. Well, one of the proposals is well north of $70 million, okay? So you're talking about proportionally increasing from $24 million to over 70, like 73, I think was the number, $74 million. You're talking about tripling this rate increase of 78%. Well, again, I just want to say to the council, you folks are there to protect the citizens and to watch our back. People incorporate gray water systems into their homes here in Morro Bay. Why shouldn't they get a break on their sewer hookups? Because they're going to reduce the amount of water that goes into that system by a whole lot if they do that, and it's something they can build into their projects when they do it. It's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, Mr. Johnson, could you come back and perhaps respond to some of those questions? I got four specific questions out of all that. One of them being to clarify your 7% amount that the...
Okay. Yes.
And then let me just go through the questions and see if this jives with what other people have said. The other one, to clarify the rates and the comparisons, which obviously we can't do tonight because we don't have that information yet, how the business rates were established as being under... Mm-hmm. The residential, and also the collection system. How often do we have to collect for the collection system? Does that cover the questions that everyone heard?
The 7%. The engineers, not me, but our Corolla staff, who did the report in the first place, I call them and say, okay, you got to go through your cost estimate and allocate which part belongs to future, which part is upgrade. And when they took each item and broke it down and allocated what they thought it was. Now, just how they did that, I can't vouch for that. But it turned out that 7%, I think it was six and some odd number, close to 7%, was allocated towards expansion. When I say allocated, I mean that's what they felt was a true picture of what was expansion, the cost. That's about all I can say for that. How, what his methodology was, I really don't know.
Okay, Mr. Stringfield, do you want to respond to that?
I can go back and Dave Stringfield with Corollo Engineers. I can go back and look at the 7%, but I actually heard a little different question from that person. Was maybe 7% of the increase on a flow basis may cost 30 or 40% to add that little increment.
I think that's what I heard.
I believe it was a young lady asking and. The 7% is probably, if I check it, my memory, that's an actual percentage of the flow and load. And to add 7%, unfortunately, probably only takes 1% or 2% for that little incremental increase. So I can go back and see how we gave John that 7%. But that 7% is not going to increase, is not going to represent more than 7% of the cost. It'd probably be less.
Okay. All right. And then how did the business rates, how was it determined that they were not paying as much?
What happens is the state has a spreadsheet model, and it takes into account the breakdown of flows for different categories of businesses, commercials, residentials. It takes a measure because your wastewater to each individual is not measured. So we use the water records to determine the percentage of this 0.85 million gallons that's going into the sewer. Then we also know that the average domestic waste has a certain strength between this value and this value, and your restaurants have between this value and this value, and we apply those. And then we plug it in, and it goes through this model. And if all the numbers come out to what actually we know, for instance, it came out and said, yes, they're charging $19.16 or fairly close to that, then we know our model is fairly reasonable. Then we go ahead and put the projected figures into that and calculate it. And so we knew that your actual figures, we knew what the actual income was in the year 05-06 for the non-residential group. When we plugged in the projected numbers, it came up and said they should be paying this much. And so we know what the difference is. Does that make sense? We have a model, and if you plug in the numbers and they don't come out to what actually has happened, you know there's something wrong with it. But our model came out and showed that they should have been doing 36%, and they were only
because that was
the
percentage
actual figures
used.
Show they only
businesses.
Brought in 26%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean that's okay. that's how that's arrived at. I don't know if that makes sense.
All
to
right,
you.
All right, now then I'm going to ask staff a question, and I don't know if you were here when what Mr. Biagini was referring to happened with the desal plant. I know you weren't. Was there? I'm sorry. Use your microphone.
That's a water fund. This is a sewer fund.
Okay. So is that what Mr. Biagini is referring to, is the use of the water, not the sewer? So that's the difference there, Ed.
Yeah.
Okay.
He talked about water, and I don't know anything about what happened in the water. I'm just telling you how we do it, the sewer fund.
Right. Okay.
We find out that our model seems to be working because all the numbers come out right, and then we start looking and comparing a bit what actually came in. And they're differed.
Okay. And then the other question I think is more for staff. We've been collecting for the collection system. How long do we have to keep collecting for the collection system? Okay, we got Dylan for that.
Dylan Waite, senior civil engineer. I'll take a crack at kind of explaining what the situation is with the collection system. And I can understand why it's a little bit complicated for the average kind of resident to follow. Let's think of it in three pieces, and I'll kind of talk about each piece individually. You have the wastewater treatment plant as a standalone unit. That's a big portion of the revenues that are going to be needed in the future. the largest portion of what we're talking about. The second piece is the routine operation, maintenance, and work in the collection system, just the day in, day out. That's what the previous 20% was designed to address. In that 20% and in that routine day in and day out operation, that includes a portion for investigation into INI, which is inflow and infiltration. It does not include all the monies necessary to fix all the problems that you find. If they're small problems, then you can probably roll a portion of them into it, but it doesn't necessarily cover all of that. The third component, also related to the collection system, is the $5 million. And what that is that's based on the sewer master plan. It has identified some areas of weakness and some problems in the collection system as it currently exists. In order to correct those problems, it's going to take about $5 million. So what staff requested that John do was determine that future rate structure for 2014-2015. If we implemented that tomorrow, would that get us enough money to fix all these problems in the collection system? When could we implement that? How could we implement that? How would we phase that in? And what he's presented is one method for phasing that in to collect the monies needed to repair the currently identified shortcomings in the collection system, which are in the sewer master plan. The INI reduction repairs, call it, those, we haven't done all of the investigations yet. We don't know what those are, and those will need to be addressed at some point in the future, and those are not reflected in the rate structure. So we've slipped in kind of what we know right now into this rate structure study, and I've kind of asked them to do, give us the baseline. Where are we starting at with our new rate structure? And then we know that there's a couple things out there that are currently unknowns, selection of the alternative for the wastewater treatment plant, the problems identified in our INI studies. All of those things will need to be rolled into your kind of final rate structure for the wastewater fund. So I hope that that kind of addresses or answers the question in very simplistic terms. It's, of course, way more complicated than that. But that's about as simple as I can boil it down. And then I'll look to, you know, Bruce or Bill if they want to add on to that.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on that? All right. Other questions from council? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. All right. Now we have another part of the report. Do we want to take a break first?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a short break before we move on. 5 minutes.